Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor of Blaze Church. Welcome to our podcast. I know today's message is going to inspire you, encourage you, and lead you to know God more. If you want to connect with us, visit us online at blazechurch.org. Enjoy today's message.
All right, 11:30, are you ready? Come on, you can do a little better. You ready to be challenged, to be convicted, to be like, why did I come to church today? We're going to have a lot of fun together. And again, if we haven't met, my name's Keith, and just so grateful that you're here this morning. And I want to jump right into this because God has these principles for our lives on how we can make change. And so we learned last week that the first principle is less is more, right? Were you guys here for that? You learned like less is more. We're trying to get rid of some stuff. Anybody by a show of hands, you gave something away this week? There are a couple hands are going up. Awesome. Cleaned out. Maybe moved some things out. But really, I said it last week, and I believe it. This series has the potential to change our lives. And the reason why I say that is because every single one of us, in some amount or some way, we're seeing money come in and we're seeing money go out. And God has principles for our lives as it relates to our finances. And I know this is awkward and this is weird and this is kind of one of those topics that it's like, should we be talking about this, especially in church? Because maybe for you, you stopped going to church because you just felt like all the church ever does is talk about money. And now here's this guy talking about money again. And so I want to just call out the elephant in the room. The elephant is named money. All right. So everybody take a deep breath in like we did last week. Take a deep breath out. It's going to be okay. Yes, it's going to get awkward. We're all going to share with each other how much credit card debt we have in a couple minutes. Awkward laughter. Like, is he kidding? I'm just kidding. Okay, we're not going to do that. Then again, I say this frequently, but I preach faster and better if you laugh at my jokes and say amen a lot. So let's move this thing along here. All right, there it is. She's like, I want lunch. It's after 12. What happened? So there's four principles that God has for our lives. I'm going to say them and then invite you to say them with me. And here they are. Less is more. Stress is bad. Giving is good. Tomorrow matters. Okay, we're going to say these so loud. You know, I've noticed like the kids are usually loud and we hear them upstairs. Let's let the kids hear us from upstairs, somebody. Let's interrupt their class. So say this loud. Less is more. Stress is bad. Giving is good. Tomorrow matters. Awesome. So these four principles that we are going to discover from God's word for our finances. And today we're going to talk about this one. Stress is bad. You guys ever seen one of those memes that's like said no one ever memes? Remember those? Like, I love it when my alarm clock goes off in the morning, said no one ever. Or no, I actually don't need a second cup of coffee, said no one ever. Right? We've got those. I want to give you some as it relates to financial stress and debt. Man, I'm just so happy with all of this debt. My marriage is doing better than it ever has. We are getting along, and said no one ever. You know, the last thing that I say before I go to sleep is thank you, God, for student loans. It was so nice of them to loan me all that money, and I don't know, well, I'm going to pay it off, said no one ever. You know what? This high interest rate, it just fills me with so much joy. I love that I make my minimum payment, but it never seems to go down, said no one ever. Right? We don't say those things when there's financial stress, when there's debt in our lives, but there are a few things that I've said before, and maybe you've said these things or heard someone say it, something like this: I really wish I could give right now, but I can't. Right? There's a desire to be generous. There's a desire to give. There's a desire to help someone, but we just feel like we can't because of debt and stress. Or I would love to take my kids on vacation. I would love to go somewhere, but we can't. Right? We say those things. And so for today and for these moments together, what I want to do is I want you to imagine. I want you to dream. We're going to go into the twilight zone, everybody. So here we go, okay? Imagine a world, right? Here's a story where something breaks in your house and you say, no problem. We'll take care of that. That's very different, isn't it? Then something breaks and suddenly it's, how are we going to pay for this? We're going to have to put it on a credit card and then we're never going to be able to pay that off and we get strapped. Imagine hypothetically that the incredible church you go to is going portable in 9 weeks, just hypothetically. You've heard about Blaze Beyond and this goal for $30,000, and there's something stirring in you. And imagine a world where you can say, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to write an extravagant offering check. I'm just going to give. Imagine that world. Imagine where right now during the holidays, you have a family member who's in desperate need for groceries or presents for their kids, or they need a car, and you say, I can just take care of that for you. How many people hear you say, that sounds like a good world? That sounds like almost like I'm living God's best, like I'm being radically generous and debt is gone and stress is gone. So how do we get there is what we're going to talk about. Now, I want to give a disclaimer. This is really a legal disclaimer for my own protection. I'm not a financial advisor, okay? So if you go to this church, I am your pastor. I'm going to use God's word and God's principles to show you what God has said. But then in just a few moments, I'm actually going to turn the stage over to a financial advisor who's going to speak to us for 10 minutes, who's like qualified and has this stuff on how to get out of debt. Everyone's looking around, who is it? You just got to wait to see. But I want to show you some things in scripture that's really just going to affirm what you probably already know, even if you're not a Christian today. Look at this, Proverbs. Proverbs is filled with wisdom. It was written by different people, mainly King Solomon, who was given the gift of wisdom by God at his request, said, God, just give me wisdom. And he just starts writing down these things. I call it the Christian fortune cookie book. It's just got these little 1-2 liners that you read it and you're like, I don't know if I understand it, but man, that sounds smart. Right? It's just these sayings. So I want to give you some things that I think we're going to understand right away. Look at this one, Proverbs 22:7. The rich rule over the poor and the borrower is, say this word with me, slave to the lender. Now, this was written thousands and thousands of years ago before MasterCard. I thought that was funny. This was written a whole longer before, you know, guys, you have a lady in your life that tells you how you should spend your money, right? I'm not talking about your spouse. I'm talking about good old Sally Mae. There she is. Just you owe me again. Remember that degree you're not using? Yeah, you owe me for it still. Come on, what does the proverb writer say there? He says that the borrower is slave to the lender. How many of you have ever felt that to be true in your life before? Come on, my hands are up. Just feel like, no, I feel like I've got no freedom here. I've got no financial margin here. I feel as though I'm trapped. I'm a slave to the person I borrowed money from. Let me give you the words of Jesus. He said it this way. No one can, what's that word? Serve. Say it with me. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot, what's the word? Read the red ones. That'll make it easier. That was a joke. Cannot serve both God and money. I think that's interesting because what Jesus does is he doesn't say you can't serve God and the devil. He doesn't put anything else against God at this moment for the worship of your heart other than money. Really, it's this word mammon, which is actually spirit behind it. See, oftentimes there's a misquoted scripture. People say, no, man, money is the root of all kinds of evil. No, it's not. Scripture says it's the love of money. It's really the pursuit of money. It's the worship of money. It's that place where you've thought that money is supposed to provide the security and the peace and the salvation that God alone can bring to our lives. See, when Jesus is our Savior, money's just a tool. Money's an object. You can't make an object good or bad. It's in the hands of the person that's using it. Does that make sense? So money itself is not evil. It's where's your heart at when you have money? And Jesus says, by the way, your heart can only be devoted to God or to money. Now, I know right now we're kind of arguing with all of this in our heads. We're saying, yeah, but what about I've heard things like you got to get your credit score up and you've got good debt and all of this. And I get all that. And so I just want to ask you a question to kind of equalize the room for a moment. How many would agree that debt leads to stress in our lives, okay? How many would say that stress is bad, all right? So then our question is, how do we get out of debt? Right, come on, no matter what amount of debt you currently have, you might say, but it's only a couple $100s, it's just $1,000, it's just a few thousand, it's just a few tens of thousands, a couple $100,000. Our question that we want to discover the answer to today is, how do we get out of it? How do we get out of this debt that we've accumulated, whether it's credit cards, car loans, student loans, mortgages, whatever it is, how do we get out? And that's where I'm going to step off the stage and I'll ask someone else to share some very practical principles on how we get out of debt. Now, if you were with us earlier this year, one of the small groups that we ran was Financial Peace University. Who here has ever gone through Financial Peace or has heard of it or knows Dave Ramsey by name? There's hands going up. So I'm going to allow Dave Ramsey to convict our hearts for the next 10 minutes because this is someone who has helped thousands and thousands of people get out of debt, get on a plan, and honor God with their finances. Now, after Dave spends 10 minutes and all of us are going to want to leave right after that 10 minutes, trust me, stay where you are because I'm going to come back and I want to give you a next step that we can all take today. I want to give you something real spiritual for our lives. And so we're going to watch this for 10 minutes. And I'll say one last thing before we watch this. If you're offended at any point during the next 10 minutes, you get mad at Dave, not me. That's why I'm not saying this stuff. All right, I'll see you later.
And deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, a bird from the hand of the fowler. Now, I know some of you are holy people and you're like reverent with God, but me and God just talk and he's not scared of me. And so I got to do this. God, you said, get out of debt, do this. And then you give me an animal metaphor. I don't get it. Fowler, you know, run, gazelle. What are you talking about? I'm just like, I don't have any idea. So I was scanning the Discovery Channel that night and I hit the Discovery Channel and there were the gazelles. They were out there gazelling around. I said, I was just reading about you boys. So I stopped my scan, right? I set the changer down. What's happening? Now, you know that the gazelles are not there by themselves if the Discovery Channel is there. You know someone else is on the scene. Mr. Cheetah is looking for lunch in all the right places. Now, I don't know if you know this, but gazelles have a little cheetah detector behind their ear. And when they see him or hear him, they go, Cheetah! Because here's some actual facts. The cheetah is the fastest mammal on dry land. It can go from 0 to 67 miles an hour in 4 leaps. They have been clocked as high as running 82 miles an hour. We had to slow this down so I'd have time to talk. This is the fastest, baddest predator on the planet, and he's after lunch. He's trying to go through the drive-thru. He picked out a college student. Come here, kid. Come here, kid. Kid, you need to get you a cell phone. You better build up your FICO score. Come here, kid. I'll give you a T-shirt for that credit card. Come here, kid. Come here, kid. And God says, this is how you get out of debt. You deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. You want to get out of debt? You got to run. You got to put it in gear. You got to bust it like you've never busted it before. You got to run like you're running for your life. Nah, 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 nah. You know how long we had to look for a quick clip where they get away? Here's what's interesting. The Discovery Channel went on to tell us that night that in the times they've clocked these chases, and that hundreds and hundreds, even thousands of times, and the animal experts tell us this is about true, that the gazelle is only captured by the cheetah 1 in 19 times. Now, here's what's interesting about that metaphor. The cheetah is faster. He's bigger. He's really scary. He's a cat. He's a dude. And yet he only wins 1 in 19 times. And I'm thinking, how does the inferior gazelle get away 18 out of 19 times? I'm thinking about it. I went, oh, motivation. Gazelle loses the chase, he dies. Cheetah loses the chase, he chases another gazelle later. No big deal. Get me a slower one next time. Right? Now, this is what the word says. Deliver yourself. Dave, you got me out of debt. I didn't ever get anybody out of debt. I showed you how I made you believe you could. Deliver yourself. The government's not coming. They're stupid. Deliver yourself. You're not going to win the lotto. Deliver yourself. Don't wait on a raise. You'll spend it anyway. Deliver yourself like you're running for your life. We call that gazelle intensity around our place. And that single mom making 34 that paid off 100, she had gazelle intensity. She was invested in not being lunch anymore. The guy making 100 that can't seem to find a way to pay off 34, he's casually wandering about the tundra hungry. He's next. deliver yourself like your life depends on it. That's what this says. So how do you get out of debt? Well, number one, you quit borrowing more money. That was deep. You can't get out of a hole while you're digging out the bottom, so don't tell me about it. I'm going on vacation and then I'm gonna work on this. Shut up. You need to go home tonight, get your credit cards out, light a candle, and have a plastic surgery celebration. I have met with thousands of millionaires. I've never met a millionaire that said, you know, Dave, I made all my money with my airline miles. That's the biggest bunch of hogwash. And everybody's so stupid, they like trying to be sophisticated and justify, I make money on my credit cards. Please just open up Bank of America. Please just open up Chase. Please just look at Wells Fargo. Open up their credit card section in their financial statements and tell me that again. That's the dumbest butt statement I ever heard in my life. You're whipping these multi-billion dollar corporations who have more in-depth behavior studies on you. They know more about how you're gonna behave than you know. They're tracking you through all your Google, all your moves. Google Analytics are telling them exactly who you are, what kind of freaking bottled water you buy, and you're gonna outsmart them. Keep playing with snakes, bozo. You're gonna get bit. That's how this works. So I got rid of mine. Capital One. What's in your wallet? Money. Wells Fargo, 24,000 employees fired for fraud. They had 24,000 employees? No, they had 100-something thousand employees. And a fourth of them were crooks. This is hard, isn't it? Bank of America. Why anybody do business with those people? Unbelievable. Citibank. Get out of here. American Distress. Jeez. Target. That's what's on your butt. Listen, guys, come on, really. All these places take cash. All these places let you play with your debit card. I travel all over the world. I rent cars. I stay in fine hotels. I woke up and handed my debit card, and then Mr. Ramsey, we will take your money. Every time. Well, it's different. Yeah, it's different. Quit borrowing money if you want to get out of debt. Second one is you need to save money. Maybe step one's $1,000. Everybody say $1,000. Pay yourself first. Start with $1,000. That's baby step one, and then we're going to work our way into saving afterwards. Next one is sell some stuff. Sell so much stuff the kids think they're next. Name the dog eBay. Put the cat on Craigslist. Children are trembling. Dad, please don't sell little Johnny. We like him. You got to just quit your love affair with stuff. Godliness with contentment is a great gain. Start to relax a little bit. The striving for the acquisition of trash for the next year's garage sale is unbelievable. I mean, no other culture in the world when we move has a box that says seldom used kitchen items. Only in a culture like ours, where we're just obliterated with stuff. Now, I'm not against you getting some stuff, but we're out of control, y'all. Take a part-time job. Take some overtime. My grandmother used to say there's a great place to go when you're broke, to work. You can make $1,500 a month delivering pizzas four nights a week.
Oh, I don't know. I have a master's degree.
Yeah, and you're broke. I don't care if you deliver pizzas or not, but get your butt in gear. Let's do something. Sit home and watch HBO reruns and think Bruce Willis is going to change your life. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. You got to do it. You deliver yourself.
All right, come on. If that helped you, let's just celebrate. It's a lot. It's you know, if you're hearing that for the first time, I'm sure there's some shock value. And that's why I want you to write down, I hope you're taking notes and getting some of this stuff. I want you to write down six letters, okay? Here they are, FPU.com, all right? FPU, financialpeaceuniversity.com. In fact, earlier this year, we had a group of people go through Financial Peace University, and they will tell you
that if it helped them find freedom. Like debt you thought you could never, give me a shout out. Miguel went through it, there's a couple right here. I mean, you have debt, you think there's no way we can beat this thing, there's no way we can save up money, and suddenly it's like, oh wow, I actually can. And I know what you're thinking, oh, I just need to make more money in order to do that. No, he's gonna show you how to use the money you currently have and get on a plan. So we're going to be running this again in February with our next small group semester. But I was thinking, there's no way I'm going to stand up here today in November with Thanksgiving deals and Christmas deals and then January debt pay off everything I did the past two months, and say, by the way, wait till February. So go to that website and you can get started tomorrow in a group because they've made all their groups available online. Like you just start, just sign up and start tracking with a group of people and a financial advisor and coach who will help you get on a plan. Now, I said I want to give every single person something that we can do today, whether you have a little debt, no debt, or a lot of debt, and it's this. I want us to learn how to pray. And I know that sounds like, come on, Pastor Keith, you're telling me that I can rack up all this debt and then I can just pray it away? No, you can't. It doesn't work like that. In fact, that's why I like the proverb Dave said, deliver yourself out of this. Like, you got yourself in, and the beauty is the Holy Spirit gives us gifts, like wisdom. I said, okay, now I'm going to use some wisdom here as I move forward. And at the same time that we're doing all of those things, we've got to have a foundation of prayer in our life. Now, I don't want to just be general. I want to give you three prayers to pray as you're getting out of debt. And the first one is this: God, give me self-control. In fact, let's just say that word together, self-control. Proverbs 25, 28 says this, like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. And this was written at a time where if there was a city that had no walls, that city was in a lot of trouble. It meant the enemy can just come marching in and take over every person there. And the proverb writer says, well, that's exactly how our life is when we don't have self-control. And the beauty is the Holy Spirit himself produces self-control in our lives. That's why that word surrender matters so much, that we would surrender to what he wants to do and what he wants to produce in us. Anyone here, you ever seen a kid in the toy aisle of Walmart or Target? Anyone here, it's been your kid, and you just said, you know what, I'm leaving you here. We're going on, because we're not getting something today. Come on, this is adult church. Debt is adult whining. That's really what debt is. It's, well, I don't really have the money for it right now, but I want it, and I'm going to get it, and I'll worry about it next month or in 2 months. Or they're so gracious, they said, I don't even have to make a payment for the first 3 months. Come on, debt is adult whining. We need self-control. And as you're digging out of debt, there's going to be opportunities. Those are distractions. There's going to be distractions that are going to come your way to get you off the plan that God has for our lives. The second prayer is this: God, give me understanding. Say that word with me, understanding. Proverbs 18:15 says, an intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise, what does that word say? Seeks knowledge. See, as you're gonna manage this stuff, this money stuff, you've got to have understanding. And you're going to learn in financial peace how compounding interest works against you and how it works for you. Like, you're going to learn how, why is it I make my payment, they tell me to make a minimum, I double the minimum, I make $50 a month. Well, at a 21.5% interest rate, that's why your principal's not getting any lower. We need understanding. At the same time, how come I can invest $200 a month into a retirement account that's going to yield 8 to 12% and I'm a millionaire in 20, 25 years? That's called understanding. And I know it seems like, no, that's financial, that's practical. God wants us to understand. We're going to talk next week about how giving is good. Well, we can't give if we've got all of this debt in our lives. That lie is going to keep coming up in our hearts. I can't yet, I can't yet. God, give me understanding. Third prayer is this: God, give me a plan. Say that word with me, plan. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. There's a hasty plan. Let me give you a little, this is a free advice right here. If you're having a down day, don't refresh your soul by going into shopping therapy. Because the next month you're going to say, wow, I must have been really down. This statement just keeps going. That's a hasty decision there. If someone tells you they have a get quick rich plan, you need to get out quick. That's hasty. No, the diligent, they have plans that lead to profit. That's exactly what Financial Peace University is. It really is a plan. I'll give you the baby steps real quick. Baby step one, save $1,000. Step two, get rid of debt outside of your mortgage. Step three, save up 3 to 6 months worth of emergency fund expenses. Step four, now that you've got that taken care of, you kind of start going through 4, 5, and 6. Step four, invest 15% into retirement accounts. Step five, save up for your kids' future. Step six, pay off your mortgage. And step seven, live and give like no one else. Like be radically, see, that's a plan. We can't just kind of meander through life and, wow, I got a raise. I don't know what to do with it now. Or I got a new job. How should I manage this? Or we really need that, so we'll buy it now. We'll worry about it later. We need understanding, guys. We need self-control and a plan. Too often in culture, we only ask two questions. How much down? How much per month? That's all culture wants you to ask. Well, how much? Zero down, and I don't have to make my first payment for 3 months, and it's only $169, and I can sign and drive today? Sounds like a great deal. Come on, we need self-control and understanding and planning. Dave said it, deliver yourself out of this debt. Now I want to say this to you. While all of this works horizontally on the debts that we create financially, there is a vertical debt that you and I could never deliver ourselves from. There is a vertical debt that today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to break the news to you, you're in debt to the Creator God. Your sin has created this debt if you don't know Christ as your Savior. Paul says it this way, for the wages of sin is death. Outside of the saving work of Christ, the free gift of God that is eternal life, our sin just earns us a death paycheck at the end of the week. So here, you earned this. And now there's this man-made payment plan that I'll call religion. Religion is man's attempts to say, oh, I'll get myself out of this debt. I'll just go to church enough. I'll just say enough prayers. I'll just be good enough. I'll serve enough. I'll give enough. None of that can free you from the debt that your sin has created. It is only a gift of God's amazing grace. Someone praise him for that truth. It is God's amazing grace that delivers us from the debt. The debt that I owe Jesus Christ, because he loves you, came to this world and paid the price. If the wages of sin is death, guess who died because of your sin? His name is Jesus. I love the way Paul says it to the church, the Colossian church. He says, when you were dead in your sins, because he's speaking to believers, and I'll talk to you in just a minute. But he says, when you were dead in your sin and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us, what's that word there? All our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And is there a more beautiful picture that we could think of? Like, just look at the imagery Paul's saying. It's as if your sin was actually on a piece of paper, a legal debt that you owed, but Jesus Christ nailed it to the cross. Come on, it's been dealt with, and I want you to know this. I'm talking to you right now, Christians. Paul said all of your sin. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. All of your sin has been nailed to the cross of Christ. You are not legally in debt to God any longer. You are now legally a son or a daughter of the King. Like, that's your identity. You are a dearly loved child of God. I have friends of ours who have adopted children into their family. And they'll say that when a child gets adopted into that family, that child now takes on the family name and the family values. And oftentimes, there's almost like a learning curve there. I heard one story of a child who was sneaking food into their room to make sure there'd be enough food at the end of the day, because that's what they were used to as an orphan. And the parents said, no, you don't have to do that anymore. Like, the whole fridge is yours. It's all yours. You've got to learn new family values. Well, as our vertical debt has been paid for by Jesus Christ, now, horizontally, we start living out new family values. And one of them, this principle, stress is bad. That's not God's best for your life, church. God does not want his people walking around under the weight of the borrower as slave to the lender. No, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He's the one that I'm living for. He's the one who paid my debt. And now who the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm free to live differently than this world wants me to live. Those old patterns are dealt with. They've been nailed to the cross. So I want to give you these four words that every single one of us need to pray and breathe out this week, especially as you start on a plan to get out of debt. And it's this: Jesus, I need you. Come on, we need that in all of our lives. In fact, let's just say that together. Jesus, I need you. Oh, how we need him. Every day we need him. And I want to pray that today, as you're hearing a whole lot of stuff, and there's probably things going on in your mind about how can we pay that, and can I sell off a kid? Hopefully you're not thinking any of that. How can I get rid of some of this debt, and how can I move that? All of that's there, but I want you to hear this more than anything else, guys. If your vertical debt has not been dealt with yet by Jesus Christ, today is the day for you to be born again. Come on, I'll say that. Today is the day for you to be born again. Today is the day for you to be adopted into the family of God, for you to know that the greatest debt that you currently are carrying around, it's not in your pocketbook or your wallet. It's that you sinned against the holy God, and he paid the price for you by sending Jesus to this world, and that there is forgiveness for you, and there is grace for you, and there is mercy for you, and there's adoption for you. And so I'm going to pray a prayer that you would put your faith in Christ today. God's going to start working. You're brand new in that moment. Now these old patterns, they're dead and gone. God's going to do a work in you. So would you join me in prayer? In fact, would you stand up with me right now? And I just want to pray for you. And then I'm going to pray for all of us who, no matter the amount of debt, that God's going to give us the ability to see this thing gone. We're going to see self-control. We're going to see planning. We're going to start to see understanding in our lives. But right now, church, let's pray this. And if you've never confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, there's something stirring in your heart right now. That's the Holy Spirit saying, come home. Come to the Father. Run to him. Jesus paid the price for you. Then as we pray, make these words yours. Let's pray this together. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus died and rose again so I could be forgiven. My sin debt is dealt with. All of my sins are forgiven. I am an adopted child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Church family, let's celebrate with people who are putting their faith in Jesus Christ this morning. We want to give you a resource outside, so make sure you stop by our Connect table. There's a little booklet that says, What's My Next Step? We want you to grab that. And now I want to pray for all of us, and then my wife, Pastor Amy, is going to come and just give us a couple next steps. But I want to pray that we would take this message and not allow the enemy to condemn us and put guilt and shame there. But really, this isn't about us being beat up today. It's about us being built up for the change that God has for our lives. And so, Lord, I pray for every person in this space and our online family. I pray that we would be people who honor you, not just with the first 10% of our tithe, but really with our whole thing, God, all 100%. Lord, that there would be that gazelle intensity in our hearts right now to get out of debt. Father, I thank you for a good plan. I thank you for Dave Ramsey and his ministry and all that he's doing. Lord, I pray that today we were inspired, that we were built up to know that you have a good path for us to walk on. God, I pray for the one who is coming home today. I thank you that their lives are forever changed. Lord, we surrender. We thank you for that word. We are living surrendered to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.